Welcome to Toilets to Titles Down Under Dynasty with your host at Life from the Ben. And here I am, as always, with my co-host at FF Doormat and our reoccurring guest at Mark Bullizier. Gentlemen, how are you both today?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Doing wonderfully well.
Football's back, so can't complain.
Loving it. How you going, Benny?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Football's back. We've got a game that we can actually talk about. Real life game, real life action has happened. And then a whole bunch more games tomorrow.
Yeah, it's good to actually be back. It's, for some of my leagues, it's a little bit depressing looking at that team go, all right, this team isn't where I thought it is. And for some of the others, it's...
I'm here for you, Bull. I'm here for you, mate. Send the trades.
Some of the others, it's... Yeah, it's go time.
It's it's very exciting. It's not too exciting thinking about getting up at 2:30 tomorrow to set those lineups and then 3 o'clock for the live action, but I'll probably will do. I'm a bit of a stooge for that first red zone is going to be pretty special. Benny's going to be a bit smarter and sleep in a little bit and get some beauty sleep and game pass to its full capacity.
Use it to its full potential, my friend. I don't invest in game pass every year to wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning. Sorry if that's not hardcore enough for all you people out there. But I'll get up at a nice reasonable time, 6 a.m. and enjoy that slate of games. And then I'll catch up on the rest in the evening via NFL Game Pass. So NFL, if you want to sponsor us, reach out.
We're going cheap.
All right. So look, let's talk some about the first game. There's been lots of talk over Twitter about instant reactions to game one. So Hatton, Mr. at FF Doormat, what's your main reaction to the Bucks-Dallas game?
Look, it was a great game. It was really, really good to see. I was pretty amazed by Dak throwing the ball 58 times in his first game back. Not physically so much, but mentally, that's just huge to be able to do that in such good fashion. I think maybe he had one or two balls that were a little bit off, but looked pretty amazing. And just it amazes me the knee-jerk reaction from people on both Zeke Elliott and Mike Evans. You know, Mike Evans apparently is dead now because he dropped 3 balls or because he got 7 targets. He got 1 less target than Antonio Brown, I think. That's sort of, you know, shouldn't be surprised, but that's...
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised either at the reaction. And like you, the way Dak played, you know, first game in 11 months coming off, you know, that injury, he was, to me, nothing short of amazing against, you know, what was last season one of the best defenses in the entire National Football League. I take 2 weeks off work, mate, and I go back on day one. I'm like, where am I? What's going on? And he was just out there lighting it on fire. Maybe his bully's premonition from last week will come true. We'll have to wait and see. Well, actually, probably not now with Gallup injured. Give us your take. Give us your take on the game.
Yeah, I think we saw what we expected to. I think we saw two teams that are going to air the ball out most weeks. I think we saw Zeke come up against what was arguably the best rush defense in the league last year. And as we mentioned last week, they returned all 11 starters on both sides of the ball. I think they're the first team in about 15 years to do that after winning the Super Bowl.
Vita Vea was just tearing. It was special. Shit up, it was special. Man. He reminded me of a young Lloyd Williams.
I think any team that goes up against the Bucks with the game plan of trying to rush the ball 25 times is going to be in for trouble anyway. Like that defense is legit. And I think you saw that with, you know, that Dallas team. They've got a veteran offensive coordinator. They've got a veteran head coach. They're not going to go up against the Bucs and try and rush the ball 25 times when you have Gallup, Schultz, Jarwin, Lamb, Cooper. They've got receivers.
Do you really think?
I mean, there's probably teams like Seattle that are dumb enough to do it, but
look, you're spot on there. And I can't remember who did it, but somebody posted, you know, the RB1's rushing lines against the Bucs defense last year on Twitter. And I'm not going to sit there and tell you I remember who it was or what all the lines were, but it wasn't pretty. No. So, I mean, it was a pretty stout run defense this year. And Vita Vea, he came back. He got hurt last year and was really warming up towards the end of the season. So with him, you know, having that full off season, coming in healthy, probably for the first time in his career, I mean, he might take it to a whole new level.
I think there was one play there where he picked up two blokes and pushed them back and still and threw them on Dak. Like, he's a scary man at 300 and what is he, 340 odd pounds. Like, he's a scary man.
And we saw Brady throw those two interceptions. So I have to ask, is Brady done?
Mate, if Mike Evans is done and Zeke's done, then Brady must be done too, right? By that logic,
him and his noodle arm. Like, what's he going into year 21 and he's, you know, still keeping up with, you know, the young guys? Like,
he could have had two more, right? Godwin, one over his shoulder. That probably should have been a touchdown. Could have been a touchdown. Would have been tough. And then one where Godwin fumbled, he might have got across the line there. So it's just what you expect from Brady now, isn't it? It's incredible at that age, but
I think the alarm's looking better than it has in a long time.
Yeah, I think we saw Brady take a little bit to warm into that offense last year, like going from Bill, who is very much a matchup based at week to week, going to Arians, who's willing to throw the ball around. But by the end of the season last year, that offense was flying and, you know, they nearly ended the game. They were a fingertip away from Evans going 75 yards for a touchdown. Like,
imagine, and the thing is, if Evans gets that touchdown, then he's got four catches for 100 yards, right, and a touchdown, and no one's talking about Mike Evans being done.
It's a 20-point game.
The talk around Mike Evans is ridiculous. Like,
and that's nothing to do with Mike Evans, right? He did everything right. No. It was just a great play by the defensive back, like, whoever that was. That was smart play.
Like,
but this is who Mike Evans is. He has games like this. He still finishes as a low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two. And I'm going to believe that it'll happen again until it doesn't.
Yeah. But, I mean, it swings and roundabouts. Like, you look at CD. What did CD have? I think he had three drops in the first half. Like, and one of them was...
drops in the game.
Yeah, like, one of them was ugly. You sit there and go, all right, so if he, you know, with someone else... if they're leading that game, does Dak keep throwing to CD? Or with Zeke getting an extra 15 touches because they're in front, are we looking at a Mike Evans-type line? Like, that's the thing with wide receivers. That's why running backs have so much value. If you've got a CMC or a Zeke that you can plug and play each week, wide receivers do tend to have that fluctuation. And the DeAndre Hopkins of the world, which are going to plug and play every week, and going to produce wide receiver one numbers every week. That's why they're valuable.
Sounds like you got an agenda there, Bully.
It was impressive by the Cowboys, considering Zach Martin was out too. Like, that's, you know, that's a big piece of their side to go within a play or two of winning that game against a whole caliber team.
I think the only other thing to look at might be the tight ends for Dallas as well. I think with that offense being as pass happy as it is, you know, there's the potential for almost both those tight ends to be fantasy relevant this season. Like, they're probably not going to, you know, Jarwin isn't going to have the 800 yards we want him to have, and Schultz probably isn't either. But if you're looking at streaming tight ends, you could do worse than Schultz or Jarwin week to week, depending on who's available.
Yeah, look, maybe in a two tight end league. But with both of them there, both of them going to play, both of them running routes, I think the upside for anyone is very low. If you need a body, plug and play, you know, probably get you 6 to 8 points.
For the price, you're gonna pay, right? They're not going to cost you anything. So,
but it's not. It wouldn't be something that I would be. I probably wouldn't be happy trotting out either one as my starter every week. That's for sure. I think I'd be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go and try and get the Kelsey's and Waller's of the world, then, you know, that's obviously, you know, advantageous. But if you're one of those guys that were looking in the 15th, 16th round for a starter at tight end, and you're starting to look at the Ian Thomas's and in that vein, I think they're a high upside Stop, pretty safe.
This is sounding too redrafty, Bull. Sounding too redrafty. Stop it. Quiet, you.
How good was Gronk? Talking about cheap tight ends, how good was Gronk? Obviously, not going to have that upside, touchdown upside every game, no. But he was an outlet.
Well, there's been a lot of talk that, and even from Gronk himself, that now that he's had a full season under his belt, that he's in, you know, bigger, better shape than last year. So do you think he can be more productive than last year, given all the weapons that are available in the Tampa Bay offense?
I think what we saw is what we're going to get. I think that is...
Oh, so you think 90 yards and two touchdowns every week? Oh, wow.
No. I mean, no, like, I don't know about the two touchdowns, but we know Brady trusts him. Yeah. But I think he's older now. He's always been a very physical tight end. Like, for all everyone gets excited about the Gronk spike and the 100 touchdown careers, the 100 touchdowns throughout his career, the dude pancakes people. Like, as a blocker, he is an elite option. And that was carried on last night. There was one point where he was just complete down the final stretch where he was completely gassed, and I think he pulled himself out.
What do you think he's going to be for fantasy football? Not how he looked.
Tight end one for me. He's a tight end one.
Yeah, he's a tight end one.
Okay, but like, I mean, there's varying degrees of tight end one, right? To the point where you get to a maybe tight end 6 or 7, and being tight end 6 or 7 isn't much different than being tight end 14, 15. Do you think he is top 6 tight end?
Not for me.
I've got that top. If I'm win now, I've got that top.
No disclaimers. No disclaimers. Just yes or no, Bully.
For this season, yes.
Bully says he's a top 6 tight end.
He's close enough for me. I think he probably just finishes off there, just because, you know, not every game they're going to throw the ball 50 times, right? But I think he's going to feature. It's definitely not OJ Howard, the analyst that we're trying to talk. OJ Howard was a better athlete, and he was going to be the guy. Obviously, that's, you know, you can chuck that out the window.
That's dead, mate. That's dead in the water. This his best game of the season?
Could be.
He'll have at least one game this year where he goes over 100. Like, that's just what he does. But I think, I don't know how many 2-touchdown, 90-yard games he's going to have.
So we're saying for fantasy, it was his best game of the year.
Are we saying, pretty close.
Yeah. Fair enough, boys. So, Matt, what's your main takeaway for fantasy? Did this game change anything for you?
No, it changed nothing really. I've owned Dak in a couple of places, so I was pretty happy he came back from his injury like he did. I got him in a little bit of a discount in a couple of spots just because of that injury cloud, so that was good. And, you know, Mike Evans and Zeke are looking even cheaper now. I'll be trying to buy them if I can find anyone who, you know, knee-jerking the price. But, yeah, it didn't change anything for me, really.
No. I don't think anybody who drafted Zeke and is relying on Zeke is going to be worried about this game or trying to get them off their roster, unless it was certainly not at a discount. But one thing I do think is that for people who aren't competing, who have somebody like Zeke on their roster, maybe they're feeling a bit more pressure to get them off quickly. So maybe you could take advantage of that. Bully, what was your main takeaway? Just one, Bully.
Anything for Amari.
Anything? Yes. You think that's legit, Amari? That's what we're going to see this season. He's going to have his best year.
He's a stud. I think that year in Oakland soured a lot of people on him. But the dude is a stud. Like, and he's still young enough that you're going to get, whether or not he's in Dallas next year, I don't know.
Oakland was a long time ago now. He's had two solid years for the Cowboys, right? In that, what, mid-wide receiver 2 range, right? And he's always had games like this, you know, a couple of games like this throughout the last 2 seasons where he just goes enormous.
I think then, we can throw
and
out.
Then he does nothing.
Like, he had, what did he have? He had Gilbert Grape throwing him the ball last year. I think he had Cooper Rush for 2 games. He had Andy Dalton. God knows how Andy Dalton is starting over Justin Fields. And he still put up 1,100 yards last year. Like, you know,
Ben
with
DiNucci,
that... Gonna...
Come on.
Oh, sorry.
And, as well.
Yeah. Like, it was murderer's row of QBs last year, and he still put up 1,100 yards in an offense that was struggling. Like, with an increase in QB play, he's a stud. Like, I think he's missed 1,000 yards one season in his career. Like,
I don't think so, Matthew. He's had a couple.
I'm just pulling it up now. No, so 2015, he went 1,000. 2015, 1,070.
Only 2017. Only 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's one of those ones that's in the same ilk as, you know, Mike Evans, where the dude's consistent. Like, we don't like him because of how he does it. But if you put him in, week out in your team through a season, he'll win you as many games as he, you know, loses you a game.
Yeah, look, he could be on track for his best year. With Michael Gallup getting hurt, CD and Amari are going to get a lot of targets over the next 3 to 4 weeks, however long Gallup's out.
Still young enough too, right? He only turned 27 this
year.
Yeah. Love that.
He's the same age as Diggs, but you're getting him, you know, a couple of
Cooper,
rounds later.
Cooper or Evans?
I've got a few teams where I have both.
Yeah, if you had to pick one.
I think Cooper, because I could see a scenario where Cooper has 1,500 yards to CD's 1,100. I can't see a scenario where in Tampa where one of those receivers separates themselves so much. I think Brady's one that'll target matchups week to week. And you saw the other night with AB. He got on a roll and all of a sudden he had 5 targets in 6 plays. Like, I think that's the way Brady works, whereas Dak is going to air it out. This is a revenge tour for Dak.
Hopefully the revenge tour keeps on revenging and Dak gets through the season nice and healthy. He looked very good. That was really, you know, my takeaway is just how good Dak looked. Very, very happy for him. Well-deserved. Glad he got his contract. And just hope the man stays healthy.
He looked confident as well. That was the big thing for me.
Yeah. And another thing, it seems like the Bucs backfield is just going to be an absolute mess again this year.
Yeah, well, what did Rojo get? Rojo got 4 series and then he fumbled and, you know, got sent to Siberia.
Yeah, and I love Rojo. I mean, the man averaged 5.1 yards a carry. The guy's got talent as a running back.
Yeah.
But he just seems to have confidence issues. I don't think Arians really helps him there, to be honest. Based off what I've seen, I'd love to see him on another team.
It's probably opened the door for Gio a little bit, hasn't it? Poor display by both of them, pass catching. I think he might have been in injury cloud over him, I can't recall, but if he gets on the park, might be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he's one similar to what we saw with Gronk, where it'll, you know, he got, I think it'll take him a few weeks to warm up. But I think by week 6 or 7, we could see a lot of that passing down work that Fournette gets being moved across to Gio being a full-time pass-catching running back.
And do we think Antonio Brown was the best wide receiver on the field yesterday? Best wide receiver for the Bucs?
Yeah. The dude's elite. Like, if he doesn't have that meltdown, and it must be something about the Raiders as an organization, because...
Apparently the word is that he was very high maintenance over at Pittsburgh. That's everything that's coming out now, and that they just kept, they were able to keep it under wraps somehow.
Yeah.
And they got rid of him because they just, it got to the point that it just got too hard. So he's obviously...
He was live streaming team meetings and stuff, right, inside the locker room, all sorts of things. So that's the only thing, elite talent. Flip a coin, really, between him and Godwin. I said Godwin could have had easily 2 more touchdowns, but for the price, why wouldn't you?
Even all off-season, and I did one startup pretty late, and he went really late in that. I picked him up off waivers in Console Wars.
Yeah. I think you beat me to him. I think I was a week late on going through and cleaning up my waivers and stuff like that in Console. And but the dude, you know, we want to talk about elite receivers. Like, what's he got? I think he's got 3 seasons above 1,600 yards. Like,
yeah, but I mean, look, we've got to focus on what he's done going forward, right? Dude, so are you Would you buy him at cost? What do you think his cost is now? I think he's easily increased his value to a second round pick.
I think if you can get him for,
you got to give a second.
I think if you can get him for a second, that's a good deal. I don't know if you could buy him for a second. I think any team that owns him is win now. And I think if you're win now and you've got those players like Julio, AB, that are getting to the back end, AJ Green, that are getting to the back end of their career, the teams that own them, you're going to have to overpay to get them. And I don't know if that's the smart move.
Yeah, I wouldn't put AJ Green in the same tier as Antonio Brown just yet until I see him out on the park for the Cardinals. AB is different because every single time he's been on the field, he's still produced at a really good level.
Yeah.
Still. So, yeah, he's kind of separate for me. He's in a kind of situation all to himself because the production, if he's on the park, is going to be there. But he could do some knucklehead thing, and it could be gone in a moment, right?
I think you got to factor that in. People are sort of just sleeping on that, Ben. That was a good point. And I also think Brady has that special bond with him. Maybe not special, but he just seems to love throwing to him. I think when he came to the Patriots, he jumped on the field and got like six or seven targets in his first series. And unfortunately, that was all we sort of saw of him. But it's apparent that they do sort of like playing together.
I think he'd need to string together a few quality weeks for you to get a first off a contender.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd ever manage to get a first for someone, but I do think, you know, Gallup in a second. If a team was relying on Gallup to be that depth of wide receiver on the bench, I think you could try and make a move. If the Gallup injury niggles for a few weeks, you know, Gallup in a second, that sort of move could be on the cards.
Yeah. So
he looked good, didn't he, Gallup, too? He did look pretty good.
It is a shame. How about my guy, Micah Parsons, bully? He was a terror. He was all over the field. Seven tackles, pass deflection, QB hurry. Mate, that guy is going to be something.
And 30-something-year-old Gronk made him look like a fool twice.
Hey, that's going to happen. That's going to happen to a young...
He did look good.
But he looked like fire.
He looked good. I've got rid of all my IDP leagues just because I've got too many offense leagues. The only concerning thing for me would be the way they were using their linebackers. It looked like they were cycling through them in teams a lot.
They were doing that. So I think they were playing Jalen and Jalen and Micah, and then LVE and Keneal. They're playing Keneal at linebacker in those duos. If I'm not mistaken,
I think that would be my only concern because I worry, given how porous that defense was last year, whether they cycle through their linebackers to try and keep them fresh. And I think you might see this year a lot of them, especially because LVE's had injury worries the last two or three years as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. But when he's on the park, he might be the best linebacker out of all of them. He's a monster when healthy. Jalen Smith is the highest paid linebacker on the team. He's probably the worst one.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. I think we could see all three of those linebackers be on a pitch count this year.
Was it a good defensive performance, guys, or bad? Like, I saw some stats out there. I think the Bucks were the only team to lose turnovers there's a few stats there. But
I think it was a good IDP performance because there were so many plays, all right? But I don't think it was a good defensive performance.
Yeah, like I think we saw...
Compared to what we expect, was it better or worse? Like,
I'm surprised that Dallas was able... I know they've got the weapons, but coming back after 11 months against that defense, I was surprised that Dallas was able to keep up with the Bucs. And my thoughts are that really Dallas had opportunities to win that game and lost it. Yeah. But in the second half, except for that last drive where Brady won the game, I think Dallas was the better team.
I don't know if I would have said that they're the better team. Like... If I was down to two teams and I was putting money on who's going to go deeper in the playoffs.
In that game, I just meant in that game, mate. I just meant in that game. Like in the moment, in that game. I think if they played 10 times, Bucks win on a neutral field, Bucks win 7, Dallas win 3. But
I think the Bucks kept them in it a little bit with their turnovers, but easily the Cowboys could have won it. You know, like Greg the Leg missed a couple of kicks, right? Some poor decisions, I thought too. But I thought their run defense was pretty good too. Maybe that's game script, but yeah, look, I sort of thought everyone would have the overs, and they played all right. I was a little bit surprised by their defense. I thought it'd be terrible. It wasn't terrible. They're not going to win anything, but they're probably going to win that division.
I think if that Dallas team gets into the playoffs, and I think from what I saw yesterday, they're most likely to win that division. I think they can cause problems just with how good that offense is. I think I said last week that Dallas defense was going to be better than it was last year.
It couldn't be worse, mate.
And it showed that it was. And they've also got a pretty weak division. So, you know, I think they'll be a far improved team. And if Dak stays healthy, it wouldn't surprise me how deep they can go.
How unbearable are Cowboys fans going to be if they actually make the playoffs? It's bad enough now, right? They're going to win every year as it is. But Coach Sheps is going to be losing it if they make the playoffs.
Absolutely. Look, anytime a quarterback is Brady's age, they could go over the cliff at any moment. Do you think that's a watching point at all? I remember back to Peyton Manning's last year, 2015, right? Week 3 against Detroit, he came out 31, you know, he threw 42 times, 31 completions. He threw two touchdowns with only one pick, completed 73% of his passes, and then he was never the same again.
The hard part for me evaluating Brady is we've never seen a QB with the lack of injury history, the meticulous way he looks after his body, go this deep into his career. So the hard part is evaluating when. Like, I think he knows when, and I think he'll pull the pin. I think Brady is very aware of legacy.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the fact that a quarterback can drop off a cliff at any time. Like, we've seen it happen.
I think it's only for Brady, it's only if an injury comes. I think Manny had that major injury beforehand, right? He come back, looked good, but that, for mine anyway, that was sort of in the back of my mind for Peyton Manning. I think if you one of these guys that think it's luck and cheating and whatnot, maybe you're waiting for a cliff. But if you think it's his mental preparation, his physical preparation, the way he prepares himself, his drive, I think that cliff's probably not going to come for
him. I mean, realistically, the QBs that have gone this late into their career, or close to this late into their career, all had fairly major injuries early on. Peyton, you know, obviously had the neck. Breeze had, what did he miss? Because he with the neck as well?
I think he does towards the end of the year too. He had ribs.
He did his ribs towards the end of the year. His arm strength had been on the decline for years.
Did he break his back earlier? I don't know. He had some major injuries. Yeah, he did.
He had that thing. The Dolphins were going to sign him, but they didn't because they were worried about the injury. And then they signed Culpepper, who sucked.
What do you think on the Cliff, Benny? What's your take?
I think Brady's earned the benefit of the doubt. It's just as simple as that. He's earned the benefit of the doubt. So let's move on from that game because there's a lot of games to come. And I just want you guys to all both just pick one game that you're looking for tomorrow, either because it's going to give you some answers or some insights and some, you know, players and their dynasty value that you're really aching to find out, or just that you're just players that you're looking forward to seeing on the trot. So just one game at FF Doormat. What's your game, mate?
I'm really excited to see the Texas quarterback room. No, I'm kidding. for me, it's Falcons versus Philly. I've got a few shares of Devonta Smith, Jalen Hurts, and Kyle Pitts. Probably pretty ordinary defenses there. So yeah, look, really looking forward to getting some answers there, seeing how that plays out from a fantasy perspective, and then just seeing, I'm buying the hype on Kyle Pitts. I think he's going to be something very, very special, which is nothing. You know, I'm not going out any limbs there, but that's what I'll be watching for. I'll be up for that.
Yep. And one other question, Matt. What is tonight's episode brought to you by?
Primetime Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family, just as amazing as our podcast. Again, Primetime Sports Talk, your go-to sport spot for sports content.
Well, I like to think that we're part of that podcast family, and on Primetime Sports Talk, and you people out there can be part of the Toilets to Titles family by joining our Patreon. The first tier is only $3 per month, and it gets you into the T2T team group chat. The second tier gets you into the group chat, of course. That's $5 per month, but it also gets you entering into next year's Frankenstein Listener League and early access to the Waiver Wire episode. And then our final tier is $10 per month. It gets you all of the above, but it also gets you one-on-one roster analysis with anybody in the Toilets to Titles team and free entry into the Frankenstein Listener League, which is normally $25. So for just $10, you can get that free entry by joining Tier 3. So join the Patreon Toilets to Titles family and listen to us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Facebook, Toilets to Titles Winner Family Breaks Sports Memorabilia page, and of course, Spotify. Bully, how do you listen?
I'm a Spotify man.
Yeah,
I'm a Spotify man. It's I spend a good portion of my life traveling around and doing stuff, so I get through a few podcasts on Spotify.
All right, Bully, what's the game that you're looking forward to the most from tomorrow? The one that you want to see?
As a Pats fan, it kills me to say it, but I want to see this Jets Panthers game.
You stole my game.
I own a good amount of Sam Darnold. So I'm pretty excited for that. I mean, I traded for him while the Panthers were on the clock in one league in the draft this year. So, I'm excited for that. I want to see Sam Darnold. I want to see Zach Wilson.
Of players in that game I'm excited about. You said Darnold or Wilson. Obviously, you guys know how high I am on Corey Davis. The Jets paid him. I think he's going to get the targets. Elijah Moore, super high on the talent. DJ Moore, target distribution on Carolina with those three wide receivers is going to be really interesting. And of course, you've got C-Mac back. Does he get the full workload like he used to now with all the weapons in that offense and a capable backup like Chuba Hubbard? And does Michael Carter get the carries? How does the running game look for New York? That was the one game I'm right there with you, Bully. Super excited to see both those quarterbacks, to tell you the truth.
I think that for me, that's certainly one that I'm going to be tuning in for. I think the only other game that I was curious about was the Browns-Chiefs. I think if you're looking for a game to watch, that's going to be a track meet. I think that'll be it as well.
That'll be an interesting game. I think Baker takes a step forward as a passer. He was starting to pass more in the latter half of last year. I think they'll take the reins off him a bit more. Probably start the season running the ball a lot, but I'm excited to see if Baker is the man. I'm excited to see Odell. I don't think he'll ever get back to what he was, but I think he could still be a top 10, top 12-ish receiver. I don't buy the idea that the Browns' offense was better without Odell. I think they just started clicking a bit later on. So that's definitely a good call out there. And does Mecole Hardman, does he get that full-time wide receiver two role is another question that I'd like to see answered. Because I've got to pick another game because you stole my game. I'm going to say the Broncos-Giants. I've always been a Teddy fan. I did think Locke would win the job because I thought Locke had the upside. But Broncos, their coach obviously thinks that he can coach the defense to a point of compete if they can just play mistake-free football and not turn the ball over. But that the Broncos' offense has a lot of weapons. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Noel Fant. I'm really interested to see how that plays out, who Teddy targets the most, and just how that situation evolves. And then the Giants, Saquon back from injury, the reinforced, they've got so many weapons, but they just haven't done much with that offensive line. Can Andrew Thomas, who was the first offensive lineman drafted in the 2020 draft, but probably performed, the worst out of all those first round offensive linemen. Can he take a step forward? I thought, you know, I thought he did look better as the season got went on last year. So really want to see if that line can get better and if Daniel Jones can take the step that some people are anticipating. Jones isn't somebody that I would be relying on in Dynasty, but that team, it's got a lot of weapons as well. So a lot of fantasy relevant players in that game where we kind of don't know yet how they fit in. So that's another game that I'm really looking forward to.
The only problem for me that game is there's so many fantasy relevant players. The only problem is none of them are quarterbacks. That's the part that worries me about that game.
We don't, you know, any starting quarterback's relevant in Superflex, mate. And we only play and talk Superflex here.
If I'm starting Teddy Bridgewater, I'm looking for a wide receiver to start over him.
Ouch, shots fired.
I think I own Daniel Jones in one league, and it's a zero penalty league for interceptions or turnover. That's the Will Ferrell league. I know you're Matt Ben.
I didn't know that. For me, that league has that rule. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Points. It's 0 points for turnovers. He still stinks anyway, but
yeah, no.
If there's any sort of turnover involved, obviously.
All right. But before we go, I've got to touch on a trade, right, that my friend Bully made in that Will Ferrell league. You bought Cam Akers off me low, and then you sold him even lower, mate.
Yeah, it was one of those deals where it...
What are you thinking? It was like Russell Gage.
What was the trade,
like,
fellas?
What was the trade?
What was the initial trade?
Let me pull it up.
He got me good on the initial trade, I think. I think I just wanted to get Akers off my roster, and I just thought... I traded Akers and Sonny Michel for Jaden Daniels, who's a Devy quarterback over at Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I made the trade with every intention that Sony will be enough to get me through this year as a backup. And I thought my team was shaping up to be a little bit further away than it was. But when Sony went to the Rams, because that's also a start 11 or start 12 league as well, isn't it?
David State, mate, yeah.
Yeah. It's a, you know, when Sony went to the Rams, and for me, I think I said last week that he was my buy because I think he'll be the starting running back there. It put my team in a position to really have a run at it. And Russell Gage last year, when Julio was out, he was good. Like,
but it was like Akers and Nico Collins for Russell Gage and who else?
A
22 Debbie. I would take Nico Collins over Russell Gage.
Not if you win now, though, right? You'll win now in this league, but you've got Barkley and a few others, right? I think
for me, I think he's a fresh 25. I think he's only just 25. And if he goes and has 1,200 yards as the wide receiver two there, I'm happy with that. Like, I think any time...
You freaking well should be, mate.
So you got Brady and Stafford as your QBs. You got Barkley, Sonny and Mixon, James Robinson. So, yeah, now is
the... Yeah, because I think I also... That was also the league where I made the move moving Herbert as well, wasn't it?
I can't remember, mate. The Stafford, yeah, that was a good trade for you. I really like that trade. You got a lot of good win now pieces in that trade. I think Stafford is going to go ballistic this season. Yeah.
So I sent Herbert in a first for Stafford, Hunt, James Robinson, and Juju.
Yeah.
Like, it just made a little bit of sense that I was lacking a wide receiver too in a start 11 league. And for me, Gage, I think in the last eight games last year without Julio, I think he had one single digit game. Like,
right. See how he goes. So, yeah. wanted to make this one short but sharp. But before I knock off, go have some lunch. Was there anything else you boys wanted to touch on?
I think if there's any opportunity last minute to get some Lamar shares, anyone who doesn't have him higher than anyone that's got him lower than QB3, go and get him.
Lamar's going to have to throw the ball now.
He won't throw the ball. We're going to see what we did 2 years ago when Lamar was rushing 25 times a game.
He'll rush, but I think he'll set career highs in passing attempts. I'll go over 500.5 on Lamar throwing attempts. Anybody want to take the under?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I'll take the under.
Bathroom board bet?
Done.
I'll jump on the overs too. Hopefully Bateman's injury is not too bad. I think he's on IR, right? But he can come back after three games.
You got
Duvernay, you got Tylan Wallace, who I think is a sneaky value too. Hopefully they take the chains off a little bit for Lamar and he starts airing it out.
Hey, you're forgetting Miles Boykin, mate.
Let's not go there.
Yeah, look, Lamar's never had more than 401 pass attempts in a season. I'll say that he goes over 500. Matt's saying he goes over 500. And Bully's saying the under. Put it on the board.
Which RB are we buying in that backfield? Sorry, Bully, you go, but after that, which RB are you buying in that backfield?
I can't see him getting near 500. Like, I honestly can't. He had 400 in that, you know, I think that was 400. Wasn't that including the postseason?
Sorry?
No, wasn't that? Okay. Yeah, I can't see him getting close to 500 pass attempts. Like, I think they'll give him the ball in his hands and he'll be back to rushing around and that. And to be honest, I don't know if there's a running back there I want.
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't think there's a running back there that I want.
I mean, if Lev Bell becomes the starter at a pinch,
I'd pick him up off waivers, but there's nobody that I'd be trying to actively really get.
Dobbins is coming back, right? We're talking about Dobbins.
Sorry. Yeah. I thought you meant for this season.
No. No, you're right. Like, even if Bell comes back, it's Dobbins' backfield. So you pick him up on waivers, but we're talking about Dinos. Yeah.
Dobbins, Davis Murray. Yeah. Dobbins will be back next year. You'd just be playing a plug and play player to get through this season.
Yeah. I can't see anyone there that I get overly enthusiastic about. I mean, they've said they're not interested in Gurley, they've just signed Devonta Freeman to the practice squad. He's been washed for 2 years. If Lev Bell gets his head right, there's every chance that he could be relevant this year. But
I think it's Tyson Williams because he's been there all through the off season. He's the youngest back. He's got the most. I think Bell's done. I think Bell's looked dead the last 2 years. I think he's finished. I'm not worried about Bell at all. And Tyson Williams, pick him up off waivers. Maybe pay a third or a fourth for him. But I wouldn't be, he's not somebody I'd be going out of my way to acquire. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's that, everybody. We're signing off here for Down Under Dynasty. Enjoy your Saturday night. Look forward to the football tomorrow morning here in Australia or from 1 p.m. over there in the US of A. And goodbye, everybody.
Have a good one.
Ciao.